Michigan Liberation is a statewide network of people and organizations organizing to end the criminalization of Black families and communities of color in Michigan. We envision a state without mass incarceration, mass policing, and punishment. We envision a state with the best public education in the nation, single-payer health care, and thriving Black and brown communities. Here on the Respect the Rules podcast, we will lift up the stories and experiences of those impacted by mass incarceration, collective ties to the criminal legal system, and the frontline efforts to end mass incarceration.
What's up, everybody? It's another episode of Respect the Roots, Michigan Liberation's podcast. I'm Miss Marjan, and in the studio today, you know, we're continuing our Life After Lockup series, and I had to get some of the staff, the amazing staff in here, and I got to introduce them. We got Meech on the mic. What's up, Meech?
What up, though? Y'all know it's me, Demetrius Knuckles Hill, a.k.a. Meech. You can call me Big Meech without the money. Either way, it's all right with me.
All right, Meech. And up next, we got Booker T. What's up, Booker T?
Hello, folks, and it's Booker T, and I'm just so happy to be here to share some thoughts and to hone you in into our little space and just be some for real, keeping it 1,000 people.
All right. Hey, this is it for the end of the year, 2023 and everything. And I thank y'all for coming into the studio and kicking it. I love hearing y'all go at it, whatever, because y'all go way back. But before we get started with that, how y'all know each other, mm-hmm. Meech and Booker, tell us about, you know, what you do at Michigan Liberation, what you got going on. This is your time to kind of shine and tell us about yourself. And even the other people who've been here, they even mentioned how much time they did and all that stuff.
Well, you want me to share some of the testimonial part or just what we're doing now?
Yeah, just tell them who you are. Well,
my name is Booker T, and I am a lead organizer with Michigan Liberation. I've been rocking with Michigan Liberation.
Why don't you come to the mic a little bit more?
I've been rocking with Michigan Liberation now since
there you go.
Nearly 2019, and they have given me a platform to be able to fight social and criminal injustice and mass incarceration. I got involved with Michigan Liberation because of a brother that was a dear friend of mine, Earl Burton, and who has since passed, but going to meet up with him, and he was at an event they're launching, and it was at the Church of the Messiah down there with Pastor Barry Randolph, an incredible brother. And I heard what they were talking about, what they were doing, and me being formerly incarcerated myself, I wanted to get involved so that I could help many of the people that I'm seeing in society who have succumbed to the ills of incarceration and you know, drugs and mental illness. And so right now I'm doing some things with the Bailout Project, but we can get more into that. I want to give my brother man a chance to get in, because we both are long-winded and have a lot to say, especially when it comes to community needs and community service and celebrating with the community.
I had to do that close-up on Meech. Meech, what you said? You said you're not long-winded, Meech.
I'm not long-winded. So y'all know it. Again, it's Meech. Michigan Liberation, I've been with Michigan Liberation since the inception. We started in August 2018. I began working with Michigan Liberation in October 2018. Boots on the ground, out in the community, doing a lot of criminal and social justice work with the brother Nicholas Buckingham and Ray Lanier, Ashley Daniels, you know. And it's been a true joy. And as I have evolved to become a better organizer, a better leader in our community and a leader in Michigan Liberation, I began to take on different campaigns. And now I landed on the Bail Project, which, again, as Booker T said, we'll speak about that later on in the episode. And I just want you all to know, remember this, and I'm saying this to you right now, that I'm not long-winded. He's long-winded, but we together, we're a team.
Well, that's a good intro.
I'm saying something that I think I'm saying a little something.
Oh, yeah. And now you see you both are on the bail team and everything. And yes. I know you both have done some years with Michigan Liberation. I know, Booker, you was working with decarceration, with expungements, the Clean Slate Initiative, and Meech, you was doing the Good Time and
Second Chance.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
We've been pivoting back and forth, and it's just been great to be in a position where you can, at some time you had to play the point guard, and sometime you got to play the shooting guard. Sometime you got to help, you know, with the tiles or something. No matter what, teamwork make the dream work, and we just have to be prepared when we're healing our community to pivot and be able to move where we can do, where we're best needed.
Right. So you guys are definitely doing the doggone thing with the life after lockup. But tell us, how much, hey Booker, your time inside prison, how much time did you do? And what was that like?
I got skin in the game. I can just go briefly and say that I seen a whole lot of the oppression from the 60s. I grew up in the civil rights era, which made me rebellious right from the beginning, seeing the riots one year, and the next year the World Series was won, and the same clowns that was out there wanting to kill each other the next year, they wanted to celebrate. The celebration was over. They're ready to go back to normal. And so here we go today. We're still dealing with the same oppressive system that we was dealing with back then. And it just made me rebellious in some degree. And I landed in prison. And in 1985, I received 25 to 100 years for taking a purse out of an elderly white lady's car. And I was addicted to freebase cocaine at that time, and there should have been some intervention. I was wrong for what I did, and I'm made amends with God, thankfully, with all that. I would wish I could turn back the hands of time, but at the same time, we see that the unjust sentence that was given to me and everything. And so, you know, I served 25 and a half years total. That was after coming home, though, and going back. And so I was recycled.
So you did 20. Was that the amount of time that was given to you, or you just
did
you?
I served 13, got out. Wasn't no opportunities. Came home, had good intentions, but the road to hell, I found out, you know, you can have good intentions, but the road to hell is paved with people who have good intentions. If there's not opportunity for folks when they land home, because I didn't see too many people that was coming home talking about they was getting ready to come back to the prison and throw a rock at the door to get back in. And so people are coming home hungry with intentions to do better and everything, but if they're being discriminated against based on the records and everything, because people fail to understand and realize that it's not bad people that's making these, it's good people make poor choices.
Okay.
And so we got to look at criminology through the lens of not looking at it as bad people need to be punished, because that's not working. We've been working with that for centuries now.
Okay.
And it's a carryover from slavery in the first place. We need to look at it as not bad people need to be punished, but broken people can be fixed.
All right. I appreciate it. Now, Meech, what about you? Your story, man. I know you.
Well, I was one of them broken people that could have been fixed, but I was neglected growing up. And you know how Booker spoke about he grew up doing that, the riots of the 60s. Well, I grew up doing the prison riots of the 80s when my father and uncles and them was in prison, and they would tell us, and we would see on the news and hear and see in the newspaper about the riots that's going on in 1982 in the prison, 81. And all the so-called gangsters that was living back then in prison and getting out and doing the same thing over again. Those were my role models. So growing up in that particular era in the late 70s, early 80s, and being able to see, and then Reagan come into office, I believe in 1982, with the Tough on Crime. And then, you know, that's when a lot of the cocaine began trickling into our neighborhood somehow, some way. And they began this tough on crime thing, and everybody began to get locked up. All of our fathers began to get locked up. And then next thing you know, 1984 hit, Reagan's still in office. Now crack is whack, come into office. And now more of our fathers and the brothers that have grown up start getting locked up. And these are the brothers that I looked up to, because I didn't see nobody else or couldn't communicate with nobody else who was trying to lift me up. I thought in my warped mindset as a child that these brothers who was out here selling these drugs and getting into this gangster type stuff, I thought that they was lifting me up, somebody to look up to. I didn't know anything other than that because I didn't see anything other than that. So, wow. So I fell into the crux of thinking that this was the life. And by 1982, you know, I was off and running. Age 9, caught my first armed robbery. And wow. I ended up continuing in criminality and selling drugs and that type of thing. And by 1990, I was 17, I was arrested for first-degree murder. Crime I didn't commit. And I have said since then to now that I didn't commit it. But I spent 28 years of my life in prison for that crime. And it was only due to a change in law by the United States Supreme Court, Miller v. Alabama, where they said that it is unconstitutional to send a juvenile to mandatory life without parole in prison. And that decision right there is what helped me out to get out of prison. And that's why I'm here today.
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah, definitely in our little second half, which we got about 2 minutes. So we got a little time to chew. See, time is moving. Y'all are doing great and everything. I always love to have y'all in the studio with me, my brothers and everything. They always crack me up, too, and everything. But
Ms. Marjan, you're not giving yourself the credit because when we were doing the expungements and when we do events, how you show up, the planning with you and Jame,
yeah,
I'm just saying that we have different arms and legs and parts to work with Michigan Liberation and make things happen. And what you do with the media, I'm saying, it's great. And for us to be able to get our voices heard so that we can, you know, get and reach our people.
I appreciate it, y'all. Because, you know, we always, you guys, this is the second time both of y'all been in here with me and everybody. And, one of the things is, you know, what's something you want people to know, you know, when they hear this podcast as far as it deals with our mass incarceration or our prison system, whether it's
the
real deal stuff.
The real deal stuff. I don't want, you know, as much as I'm transparent and Meech is transparent about his story and everything, it ain't out here about us tooting our horns or nothing. People are out here dying and people are in need in the community. And once your conscious level has become elevated, it's your duty to man, to those who look like you, who are being oppressed, that everybody gets a fair chance. And we want people to realize and understand that even coming from the depths of the bowels of the incarcerate system where we was at, I tell people often we was like in the belly of the beast.
No.
But for us to survive it and still come out shining, we're letting people know that if we can do it, that you can. But there has to be opportunities. The only way we can get change is through teamwork. We have to have the community involved. As much as people come to us and see and they're in love with what we do, without you all in the community, nothing can change. We are only coming to empower and enlighten you. Because we need y'all to come because it's a movement and it's growing, and we need y'all.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that, Booker, and everything. So let me walk you through this, you guys. So once you were released from prison, this is something we've been talking to other guests with this series that we're doing. What happened? What was your life like? You know, in one episode, you know, we talked to some of the brothers. They were talking about the impact that it had on their families. You know, some was talking about the trauma.
So many layers.
So many layers. And I know, and this is where I want y'all to kind of talk about what you're even doing now, the campaigns that you're on now, or what you looking to get involved in as 2024 is getting ready to roll around.
Well, let's let Meech go first right here, because I don't want him trying to get at me, because I can still fight a little bit, and I can run faster if I can.
Didn't y'all meet? Did y'all?
We met each other. Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you a real story. Real. There's gonna be one minute. I seen this guy with no legs on the prison yard, and I seen him with a knife in his hand, and he was running on his nubs after somebody, and I'm like, who the hell he running after? It was Booker. So that's how we met. Anyway, so.
Wait a minute, y'all.
So but real talk. This is something that I really want our community to understand. Who our greatest enemy is. Our greatest enemy is our ignorance and our fear. Because We scared to learn stuff that we don't know. Right. And some of us are scared to share stuff with people that we know don't know. So now we got a fear, and we got a fear of sharing it. They got a fear of receiving it. And now because of that ignorance, the government is able to do what they want to with us. And it's like if you don't stand up for something, you will fall for anything. And that's why we keep on falling for any and everything. So now, today in time, Michigan Liberation was started in 2018 with the sole intent of uplifting our community, to enlighten our community, and give our community the power that they need to understand that if we don't do something now, they're going to incarcerate our entire community. That's called mass incarceration. We're trying to end that trend because that trend has been taking hold of us for decades and decades. Like I say, I did 28 years. He did 25 years. It's so many of our brothers and sisters who have done decades in prison. And now women are the greatest number that's being incarcerated today because they locked up all the men. So now they're going after the women. That's if we don't stop this trend right now, mass incarceration will live with us longer than it has so far.
On any given night in Michigan, out of all 83 counties, we have 8,000 pretrial detainees who are incarcerated, pretrial, haven't been found guilty. But we can find the room to put people in lockup. But we can't do nothing about the homelessness that's going all up and down the thoroughway of 8 Mile and all of our major streets.
Wow. You don't even think about stuff like that.
We just came from Ann Arbor for our training. You've seen it all out there. It's everywhere. We as Americans can't do nothing about that, but we can spend billions on bombs to send to the Ukraine and send bombs and support over there to Israel, but we cannot do nothing for home for the people who we have just thrown away.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't do it to a dog.
Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. So you guys are part of the bad, but was it bold against Baal? Bold against Baal. Yep. In cash Baal. Yeah.
It's so many. We have so many statistics. We can go across it. It criminalizes poverty. Black people are, they're incarcerated in state prisons at the rate of 5 times greater than white people. I mean, let's look at it. We live in America. We have 5% of the world's population. Okay, 5% of the world's population. That's a nickel and a dollar. That's all we are in the world as population. But we have over 60% of the world's incarceration, and most of the people are black and brown, or they're poor, coming from the rural areas where people just don't care about people.
Absolutely.
And so it's definitely by design. It's the Jim Crow system. And I want to just mention, I don't have an uncle named Sam. And so me and Meech, we're out there. We're in the field. We're out there touching and hugging the people. I don't care if you stink because I can go wash my behind. I have a shower. I'm fortunate. But when I see people out there in those perilous conditions, especially women and children, and I see all these women that are misplaced out here, no places for us to send them to be housed or anything, but we got all these schools that are vacant that we can't do nothing with. You telling me that we can't do better than what we're doing when we're spending money allocating it to go out the country, but we talking about what we're doing in the country.
And so when we talk about bold against bail, it's bigger than, you just looking at it and say, oh, it's a bail problem. No, it's bigger than that. We're talking about the people who are being criminalized because of their poverty. Because the system is making money off our poverty. They keeping us broke, but they making money off us. How the hell does that sound? They can make money off us to keep us broke. And again, it's our ignorance and our fear that causes us to stay in that state of desolence, that state of poverty. It's our ignorance that keeps us there. So now we talk about bold against bail and things like that. We're talking about reuniting family because Michigan Liberation is big. One of the cornerstone of Michigan Liberation was the Bail Project. That was the cornerstone in 2018. Mm-hmm. With Nicholas Buckingham. That was the cornerstone of Michigan Liberation's number one campaign. because one of our number one principles is respect black women. So we started Black Mama Bailout. Why? To reunite families, because we understand the vital role that the woman plays in the family. It's not just the man, because we can't really do nothing with the man right now because they done took us and locked us up. But Michigan Liberation seen 5-6 years ago what they were going to start doing to women. And so we started 5 years ago with Black Mama Bailout. We was ahead of the game already. And a lot of people since then have tried to join forces with us or tried to undercut some of the stuff, some of the work that we do when it comes to Black Mama Bailout. Even all the way up in the, you know, some of these offices, in the political offices, they have tried to undercut us. But we stand strong in trying to reunite families because we understand the significance of having a two-parent home. The significance right now of just having a mother at home, because the father already gone. The system did whatever they did with the father.
We're bailing out everybody. It's just called Black Mama's Bailout because we like to take the aim and look at where the target, the people that are being targeted the most. But when we come at when we come with our fight, we come to the community armed with data. We come with stories. We come with the people who have been impacted. So we are encouraging others. It's not easy for people to get up and talk about the shameful things they have done in society. But your worst moment don't define who you are now. So let the haters be haters. The haters can make you greater if you move on. But you have to connect yourself with the right people, the right resources, and if there are no resources, let's talk about how we create them in the community.
Absolutely,
let's talk about how we go to our legislators and go into the bowels and the chambers of Lansing in our state capitol and see where we can get some changes made, because the reason why I call it the bowels is because ain't crap going down, you understand? And the crap that is coming up, it ain't about nothing because it ain't helping the people. And so we need the people to know that they have power and authority, and that we're encouraging them to come step and get in alignment with us and other organizations that we are in alignment with, like Nation Outside, My Semi. We got Safe and Just Michigan. We can just name so many. It's just so many of them that
Yes, a lot of people
that we can, but that are doing the work. We like I say, teamwork make the dream work, and if we can come together in this movement and in this moment and not give up the momentum that we have really come to see at this point, with it taking incidents like, you know, George Floyd and other incidents of recent history and stuff, modern day lynchings that still go on today. We got
You know. Well, now Meech and Booker, let me ask y'all this, because we got about 5 minutes and everything. I want to also tie in how people can get involved and reach y'all. Besides, you've seen it on the screen, everybody, our website, myliberation.org. We're wearing the paraphernalia. You already know how to reach out to us, myliberation.org. And we got info@myliberation.org if you have any questions or you want to reach out to Booker or Meech. But I want to spend the next 4.5 minutes talking about what is needed. How can people get involved? I'm talking about the person out there who hears or sees this podcast. How can they get down with the fight? What can they do? A lot of people are like, I hear you, but what can little old me do?
Little old you can simply, the first step towards victory is your first step towards victory. So if you want to win, you got to make the first step. The first step is contacting us. The website is right there on the TV screen. Contact us if you want to speak to a particular person, Booker, myself, Ms. Marjane, it's a list. On our website, you will see a list of each person involved in each campaign. But we're not solely tied to that particular campaign. We're tied to the people. You want to talk to any of us, for example, there was a young lady who had a problem with her son. She contacted one of our other co-workers, Nell. Nell contacted me, and we helped the lady out with her son. So that's just a way that you could really contact us, because we are here not for ourselves, not for clout. We're here to help the people, speak for the people, and act on behalf of the people.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. And I mean, for anybody that's listening or watching, what kind of food for thought do you want to give them? You know, you guys have, like you said, you have skin in the game. But now you're out and you actually are doing the work. You know, I know you know some people who have, that recidivism is no joke, right? I mean.
I say I was recycled. I was just like a returnable. Because when you come home and it's nothing out here, and if, you know, like with my record and everything, I find that the things that I went through in life, that it shaped me to be here, and I'd be doing this for free. But we know that it take money to pay the bills. And so this here is a job just like me wishing that I wanted to be in the NBA or something, and I never made it. But this here is with life and rebuilding and transforming communities in life and seeing that power and that agency, claiming that.
So, you know, that food for thought, that food for thought is real simple. Look, if you want to get involved, if you want to see change in your life, if you want to see change for your brothers, your sisters, your children, if you want this change for yourself, if you want to see, remember, and go down streets that your children can have fun on, enjoy themselves on, be children on. If you want to see this type of life for yourself and your children, then you need to link up with organizations like us, because this is the world that we envision. This is the work that we do every single day. As Booker said, I wasn't even getting paid to do this work at first. Yeah. I was just doing it. And then they said, man, you know we can pay you to do that work. And I'm like, all right, well, I do got to pay the bills. You know, I do want that Mercedes Benz or something. But that's another story. So listen, but real talk, if you want to see a better life for yourself,
yep, connect.
Link with Michigan Liberation, and we have a large variety of partners that we could direct you to if you do
different
not
want
to link directly with us. We have a lot of different partners that we could link you to that will help empower you and get you on the path to the world that you envision.
And then we want you to come on Respect the Roots and tell the story.
Absolutely.
That's what we want you to do.
Yeah, and it's so funny you mentioned that. We are now booking some of the ladies that we've bailed out.
Good.
Two
That's
of the
great.
Ladies that y'all have played a role, your team
yes.
have played a role in and bailing them out. And I'm telling you, some of them, not everybody's doing all that well, you know. And some of them are just, you know, they're
hanging on a thread. And so we coming into 2024, and we're off for 30 days. But all the time while we're off, my mind continues to work. I was talking to people today, and I know that we need to come up with solutions to these issues, and that's what I'm looking for.
All right.
And we also want to give a shout-out to our funders.
Yeah, shout-out to all our funders, our partners, our staff, the MyLive staff, and all that good stuff. Everybody that's fighting the good fight and everything. But I thank you, Meech, and I thank you, Booker. Hey, you know what? Hey, y'all know what to do. What the sign says. What?
Respect the roots.
Hey, respect the roots, y'all. You make sure y'all respect the roots and reach out to us. Till next time, y'all.
Peace, y'all.
Peace, y'all. Michigan Liberation Education Fund, C3, conducts grassroots organizing, leadership development, and civic engagement activities. Michigan Liberation C4 and Michigan Liberation Action Fund, IE, are sister organizations.